The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session, pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case is 11-563 in the matter of the complaint of Kurt Wimmer and the Wimmer Family Trust versus Ohio Edison. For the appellant, Mr. Potash.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Lester Pokash, and I'm here on behalf of Kurt Wimmer and the Wimmer Family Trust, and I will do my best to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honor, this case comes before the Court on an appeal from an order of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. However, the issues involved here predate the creation of the commission, the discovery of the incandescent light bulb by Edison, or even Ben Franklin flying a kite. The issue before this court concerns property rights, and that is the sole issue before this court, and which should have been determined by the Public Utilities Commission had they chosen to do so. Because if this court recalls, the matter that brought us to the Public Utilities Commission was a complaint because the utility sought to clear-cut 50 trees within an easement on the Wimmer property. Now, the cause or the authority that the utility claimed wasn't God-given, wasn't constitutional, wasn't statutory, wasn't even administrative. They held up a piece of paper that says, we have an easement that you signed, and that easement permits us to do certain things. The Wimmers disagreed. The Wimmers said, we granted you an easement for two things. One, you have the unconditional right to be on our property. Remember, an easement doesn't grant an interest in land. It permits somebody access to property for a particular purpose, for a particular time.
Does the easement permit them to remove trees?
The easement authorizes the conditional removal of the tree.
What do you mean by conditional removal?
Two things, Judge Justice.
Does the easement say conditional removal?
Yes. The word may. It doesn't say shall.
So it says they may remove trees.
May remove trees that interfere or may threaten to interfere.
Okay, so if a tree threatens to interfere with a power line, does the utility have the ability to remove it?
The answer to that abstract question is yes. But we don't deal in the abstract. Who decides? They say yes, we say no. There's got to be somebody to say, okay, based on the evidence presented, that tree either interferes or may interfere.
So are you saying this is a question of the interpretation of the language of the easement that was granted to the utility company to remove vegetation?
And the facts underlying the claim of they claim they have the right. They don't have the right. They have permission under certain circumstances. And that's the issue that we believe has to be determined. Because the Wimmers have the right to property. The very next paragraph after the easement says, anything not granted to the utility is retained by the Wimmers.
Well, counsel, I don't recall that we all agreed on this, but ultimately we determined the issue of how much is enough goes to the Utilities Commission. If it's a legal issue as to whether or not they have an easement at all or any rights at all, that would be in the Common Pleas Court. But you're not disputing that this case as to clear cut or 10 feet cut or trimming as your clients would like to arrange is to be decided by the Public Utilities Commission based on our prior cases.
Well, if we step back a little bit to Corrigan, in 2009, four of you decided that the Corrigans did not have a right to bring a property issue to the Common Pleas Court.
Right.
Three of you, Justice Pfeiffer, you were, and Justice O'Donnell, you were on the other side. Justice Kopp also, you dissented. So it was a healthy discussion. 4-3 said, no, the Common Pleas Court has the authority because this is a property question. Fine. You invited us now to go to the public utilities, and that's which we did.
And your view is they just rolled over on the utilities' decision to be arbitrary about their policy, as I get it. They had a little admonition at the end of, gee, we want you to be sensitive to the property owners. But as I read the way this unfolds, their expert essentially said, anything that's going to grow above 10 feet gets clear cut. Is that basically the position that the company took before the commission?
Among others. They didn't even... I get a little excited. I'm sorry.
What kind of trees are these, anyway?
Say again?
What kind of trees are these, anyway?
They're a variety of trees. I don't know the exact names. But
How old are they?
Pardon?
There are 50 trees. How old are the trees?
Well, they predate the lines, that's for sure, and the easement was given in the early 80s. I mean, I don't know how old the trees were, but we know that they were there long before there was a Ohio Edison.
How high in the air is the line?
How high?
Yeah.
I know that they were measured. And I'm not trying to deflect. The point was they have been measured numerous occasions. And back when we were in the Common Pleas Court before the court said we shouldn't be there, they brought in their experts for the national standards to say that there's an arc or a radius that must be kept. Those trees were outside the radius. So it didn't matter to me how long they were. All I knew is how far they were away from the lines.
So, counsel, you're asking us to substitute judgment for the PUCO.
Absolutely not. I'm asking you to tell the PUCO decide the issue in the first instance. Their initial opinion said, well, the Supreme Court said the easement's not an issue, therefore we don't have to consider it. You didn't say that. You said that this matter was not before a law court. An issue of property law didn't belong before a law court. It belonged before the PUCO. They never discussed the rights retained. Three things took place with this
issue. So you're asking us to determine or send back for a discussion and opinion on what exactly that easement means?
Well, I'm asking you one of two things. You know, my wish list is that you say that they totally blew it and that there is no evidence to show that those trees either interfere or may interfere, especially 2 months ago you had a case, Wilkes, and I love the system because you can watch these things, and I listen to the questions. And you were faced with the same issues, and I listened to one of, I think it was Justice Stratton, you asked that pool was there for 15 years and all of a sudden it has to be removed. What caused that pool all of a sudden to have to be removed after 15 years when there was no problem? We asked the same question. Those trees were in existence. They weren't harming anybody. They didn't mutate into wild beings.
Counsel, when the need to modify their tree removal, their vegetation management policies changes for some reason, and they update it, they modify it, and because of that modification, trees like your clients are deemed to be a risk. And I think this was obviously all done after the big blackout that occurred in, like, 09, maybe? I can't remember when that happened. But anyway, the vegetation modification or removal system that they have evolves. And you're saying that because it wasn't in place like it is now, back when this easement was signed, that it doesn't apply?
No. Again, I hate to disagree with you, but I have to. That's not the issue. They can call a dog a goat. And I don't care how many times they call a dog a goat. It doesn't make the dog a goat. For all these years, these trees were compatible vegetation, and they were maintained by the utility. It's not that they were free-growing. They had a program. Periodically, they sent their forestry department out to trim and to maintain the trees twice a year. They fly over the lines to make sure everything's in place, and there was never a problem. All of a sudden, they started to trim the trees more frequently. What happens when you trim a tree more frequently? It grows faster, and they knew that. They testified to that. So all of a sudden, now the trees grow faster. They now create a hazard that it's invited air, so to speak.
Well, is there a hazard or is there not a hazard?
No. Those trees were never a hazard. The standards didn't change. The
Aren't
testimony...
Aren't you asking us to revisit Corrigan and give the determination of the meaning or the reasonableness of the easement language back to the Common Pleas Court? Or do you want the Public Utilities Commission to interpret the reasonableness of the language of the easement?
I take you up on your first. This may be Corrigan.
I'm asking you what your position is.
My position is that a law court should determine an issue of law. They don't. What does a Public Utilities Commission know about easements and real property law and things of that nature?
Your relief sought here, I think, in your brief says that you want it remanded to the Public Utilities Commission.
Corrigan is the law of the state. I can't ask you to reverse Corrigan. That's done. So I have to live by the rules. You can revisit the issue. I invite you to revisit the issue, and I encourage you to...
If this went back to the Public Utilities Commission, what would you have us tell them to do?
If it goes back to the Public Utilities Commission, first and foremost, decide the issue of property rights. As you well know...
You say decide the issue. It's already been litigated because there's an easement in place. It's recorded. You have a dominant tenement and a servient tenement, right?
We have it correct.
And they're exercising rights to clear cut, which the easement gives them.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Who decides? Again, if you recall, and especially if, I know it's been a while since Corrigan, but if you recall Corrigan, the testimony in that case before the Common Pleas Court that granted the injunction, we had not only an arborist that talked about maintaining the trees as they have been, but we had an environmentalist talking about the effect of removing that silver maple tree on the environment, on the landscape, on the value of the animals, the drainage. I mean, we had all that evidence. The PUCO didn't even consider any of the evidence we presented. How is it, as the question was asked, that these trees could be maintained? The only thing that changed was the added two letters in. From compatible vegetation to incompatible vegetation.
So
there was no statute.
Are you suggesting that the vegetation removal plan, the reasonableness of vegetation removal plan of Ohio Edison should be considered by the Public Utilities Commission? Is that what you want us to have them do?
That vegetation removal plan is subject to several things. One, it should be subject to the easement because that's the agreement with the parties. Secondly, it should be subject to the Ohio Constitution. There are two portions of the Constitution that holds concepts inviolate. First one is jury trial. Second one is the right to private property. That trumps everything. The Wimmers take the elevator to the top because they have private property rights that trump. There is no statute. There is no administrative regulation.
They conceded that they are a servient tenement, and they've deeded their right, the easement right, of maintenance of vegetation to the utility. So they may have those rights, but they've given them away.
Again, it's a concept I guess we're going to disagree on. They didn't give away all their rights. They granted permission and, again, retaining rights that they can do. They didn't give away those trees.
Well,
they can still go on the land of the easement and do what they want as long as it doesn't interfere or threaten to interfere.
They granted the right to remove any shrubs that may interfere or threaten to interfere.
Okay, what does may mean? Does it mean...
You want the Public Utilities Commission to tell us what may means?
Well, you told them they had to. I wanted the Common Pleas Court to do that. That's what they do. They interpret documents. They interpret contracts, easements, grants, and retention of rights. This was not a cessation of all rights to the utility. It was a permission granted for limited purposes only with the retention of all other rights, including those 50 trees. And, Your Honors, I'm going to reserve whatever time I have left. Thank you very much.
Mr. Perm? I understand you are splitting your time with Mr. Cudick?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
May it please the Court? My name is Devin Parham. I'm counsel on behalf of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, and I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for Mr. David Cudick, counsel on behalf of Ohio Edison. Your Honor, this case is really about one narrow issue, and that's whether the Commission's determination that Ohio Edison did not violate any of the Commission's rules was reasonable. This is strictly a question of fact. And based upon the evidence below, the Commission determined that Ohio Edison's decision to remove certain vegetation within its right-of-way was reasonable. These are some of the specific facts that the Commission relied upon that support the Commission's decision. First, it is undisputed that the trees that have been designated for removal will grow tall enough to interfere with or contact the transmission line. Second,
at what point will that happen?
It's unknown when that will happen, Your Honor. It's essentially a gamble from year to year.
I see. But they're not currently a threat.
The species of trees are currently the type of trees that may.
If they fell over today, they would not hit any transmission line. Is that fair to say?
Based upon what I know, Your Honor, if one tree were to fall today, it would not hit the transmission line based upon the company has.
So there's no current interference as of today?
There's no current interference as of today because.
I don't mean current in the sense of power line, you understand?
Right. As of
temporary.
Right now.
I was just kidding. Go ahead.
Because the company has gone out and maintained the vegetation either every 2 years or every couple of years, Your Honor, there is no current interference with the transmission line. But the evidence and the record shows that based upon the nature and height of the transmission line and the nature of the specific trees based upon their species, that these trees will grow high enough at some point to interfere with or contact the transmission line.
The Wimmers have offered to maintain at their cost the trees with the same tree trimmers that Ohio Edison had done and offered to do that. Why is that not a reasonable resolution of this problem?
Your Honor, that's not a reasonable resolution because it's the company's position and the Commission's position that safe and reliable service cannot be delegated to individual property owners. The Commission has specific vegetation management rules that utilities have to comply with, and each utility is responsible for ensuring safe and reliable service. For this specific line, if a tree were to either contact or just go too close to the transmission line, it would be an automatic power outage for at least 13,000 customers. We cannot leave for each and every single property owner the ability to.
So you'd have a stronger case if there were some interference or a threatened interference, but the property owner is arguing this tree isn't tall enough to contact these lines, and there's no problem, and yet I don't think you should. I wonder why you even told them you were going to do this if you have the unfettered right to cut them down. Why would you notify them of what you're doing?
Well, Your Honor, I'd like to suggest that if there's actual interference, that at that point it's too late from the view of the Commission. The Commission looks to utilities to maintain and ensure that trees are not at a point where there is actual interference or the trees have gotten too close to the transmission line. Some of the evidence in this case specifically shows that the trees, I believe it was during the hearing below, that Ohio Edison had to go out and perform an emergency trimming because one of the trees had grown just within a few feet of the transmission line. At that point, it's already too late. Utilities, especially after the 2003 blackout, have all been more stringent on enforcing their easement rights and making sure that they're acting in compliance with the vegetation management plan. And it's the position of the Commission that you cannot wait till there is actual interference or contact with the transmission line.
Counsel, what was the evidence about how far or close these trees are at the present time to the transmission line? Are we talking about trees that are 5 foot tall and might have to grow 40 feet before they contact the line? Are we talking about trees that are 50 feet and may have to grow 10 feet before they contact the line, or what are we talking about?
Well, Your Honor, the exact height of the trees today or at the time of the hearing, I can't specifically tell you that, but I can say that the transmission line hangs around 45 feet to 60 feet behind the appellant's property because it sort of droops down like that. But the trees, the vast majority of the trees, are located directly beneath the transmission line or just slightly north of the transmission line. And the vast majority of these trees have the ability to grow from 60 feet to 80 feet. And there's been talking about, well, why not just trim the trees? There's also evidence in the record that specifically shows that trimming these trees causes them to grow faster, specifically around 5 to 7 feet per year. Now, Howe Edison had a five-year vegetation cycle. So essentially they would trim a tree 1 year, and then 5 years later they could come back and be 35 feet higher. And there's also evidence in the record that shows that the transmission line is not static. It has the ability to sway from 5 feet to the left or right of center, and also has the ability to sort of sag down to a maximum of 12 feet. So although I can't specifically say how high the trees are, the evidence shows that based upon the nature of these trees, they have the ability to grow either directly into or higher than a transmission line.
Is it the commission's position that, let's say we have a new tree that started and it's only 5 foot tall, that tree itself is a threatened to the power line, so that we're actually maybe looking, 10, 15 years out? So anything that might be a threat 10 or 15 years out, is within the terms of the easement something that's threatening the power line?
Your Honor, based upon my understanding of Ohio Edison's vegetation management plan, that a tree that may be 5 feet tall, they will have sort of a rule of thumb to determine if they can manage that by trimming it. But if they have a tree that they know is 5 feet tall or maybe higher than 10 feet tall, they'll look at that, determine, is this the type of species that, based upon how high it will grow and where the transmission line is, that at some point, no matter how much we have to come back and trim it, based upon our cycle, it's eventually going to interfere with or threaten the transmission line.
It's eventually. So the commission's position, the commission ruled on this, so it's your order that's at issue, that if it will ever threaten the power line, no matter where its present position is, that it is currently a present threat and can be removed.
Yes, Your Honor, if it has the ability to threaten, which is
even
the language,
if it's 15 or 20 years down the road.
Based upon the vegetation management plan and the evidence of this case, that is the position of the commission, that if a utility at some point they know that a tree will cause an issue, that based upon their vegetation management plan, they have the right to remove that tree.
Has the commission ruled on the reasonableness of the vegetation plan in question here?
The commission determined that the vegetation management plan was reasonable. When it was filed, they approved it, and the current vegetation management plan is considered reasonable by the commission.
Was it raised in this instance, or was that done in a prior proceeding, or was it done in the proceedings before the Utilities Commission in this case?
The validity of the vegetation management plan was not at issue in this case. It was the issue that was raised by the appellants in this case was whether or not the company's implementation of its vegetation management plan was in compliance with this vegetation management plan. The vegetation management plan itself and whether it's reasonable was not at issue here. It's been approved by the commission, and that's
Council. Did the commission pass on the easement? Did it discuss the easement that was granted by the Wimmers to Ohio Edison?
In the opinion and order, the commission did talk about the easement for a short period, but it did not make any determination regarding the party's property rights as it relates to the easement, because as it states in the opinion and order following this court's decision in Corrigan, that the party's property rights is not at issue. The only thing that has been left for the Public Utilities Commission is whether or not Ohio Edison's decision to remove the tree was reasonable as it relates to a service-related
Council, you said something about the testimony was that these lines could sag down. Did you say sag 12 feet or sag down to 12 feet?
They can sag down 12 feet, Your Honor. I apologize. They're currently 45 feet to 60 feet.
So they could come down to 35 feet?
Correct.
Council.
And what kind of trees are in this area?
I believe there's maple trees. I apologize. I can't remember the whole list of them.
And with respect to the way I read the briefs or the facts that developed, the policy that was approved allows them to clear cut anything that will grow above 10 feet. Is that correct?
Your Honor, that's not exactly correct. There was an excerpt from testimony where Rebecca Spock talked about sort of a rule of thumb policy of Ohio Edison, where they will look at a tree that is above 10 feet. They'll go out and they'll say, well, what is going on with this tree? And then do a detailed investigation like was done in here. In this case, a specific detailed investigation regarding each and every single one of the species, and then you go from there to determine if it's incompatible vegetation. There is no, from my understanding, there is no rule that if a tree is above 10 feet, they go out and cut down the tree.
Thank you, Mr. Parham. Mr. Cudick.
Counsel, you're here from the company, right?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
So what is the policy of the company? Because that got involved. There was expert testimony, apparently it's something about anything that's going to ever grow above 10 feet.
Right. Well, I think
would be removed.
Mr. Parham actually had it correct, Your Honor. The 10 feet rule, if so to speak, is kind of the inquiry rule. If we have something that's 10 feet, then the company is going to say, what is that species? And they're going to look at that species to determine whether that particular species has the genetic disposition to grow in or near the line. The line was 45 to 60 feet here. And some of the testimony that I would direct you to is the testimony of Ms. Spock. She included in her testimony a chart which showed the various species and the genetic disposition of those species to grow to certain heights. Mr. Neff's testimony was he was the surveyor, and he had a survey which showed how high the trees were and where the trees were. The trees
Council,
were.
It seems to me, in listening to all these arguments, that there was a lot of testimony presented on both sides. Is that correct?
Well, the Wimmers presented, Mr. and Mrs. Wimmer, and we presented three experts, yes.
All right. And were they prevented from presenting any other expert testimony?
No, they were not, Your Honor.
And so we have a management plan that has been filed, and we have a hearing on the removal of these trees. And it seems to me that what we're here before this court on is just us second-guessing or evaluating whether the PCO's approval was okay. Do I see that only a factual dispute as to whether these particular trees should or should not have been trimmed or removed?
Your Honor, I think you have it exactly right.
And is there any issue of law that's unresolved or any issue of law that we should be dealing with in this case?
No, Your Honor. Given the similarity of this case with Corrigan, the commission below really had no choice but to follow Corrigan. The language in the Corrigan easement is virtually the same as the easement in this case. This court in Corrigan said that what that language meant was that the company had the right to remove the trees if they could grow into the lines. Same applies here. In Corrigan, this court said there really isn't an issue about what the easement means. What the attack was from the plaintiffs was an attack on the reasonableness of the company's decision to remove the trees. That's the same issue here. In Corrigan, this court said the issue of the reasonableness of the company's decision to want to remove the trees is something for the PUCO to decide.
And what is the legal standard of review we are to apply to a factual dispute as this?
The appellant must show that the commission's decision was against the manifest weight of the evidence. And there was certainly manifest evidence to support the commission's decision. Ms. Spock's testimony, I mentioned earlier, Mr. Neff's testimony, in terms of how close the trees were. In fact, we believe, Your Honors, that where you have trees that are not necessarily going to fall over and hit the lines, but just merely be near the lines. In this case, even though the company was out there twice as much as they normally would be, in February of 2010, just a week before the hearing, there were at least three trees that were in violation of the National Electric Safety Code minimum clearances within 3 or 4 feet. And so we're having people, our employees, our men and women, go out to trim these trees year after year in proximity to highly energized lines.
Does the easement say who has the duty to maintain the vegetation?
The easement does not speak to that, Your Honor, but Ohio law speaks to that, and we have the duty to maintain our lines to provide reliable service. The ultimate duty is on the company, and this court has determined that before.
So Ohio Edison has the duty to maintain the line, which gives it the right to maintain the vegetation, or does Ohio law speak to maintenance of vegetation?
Well, with respect to each particular property, the company has to have the right legally to do that. And we believe that we do have the right to do that, given the clear language of the easement, which is undisputed, and the meaning of which is undisputed.
Counsel,
Does the offer of the property owner to absorb that cost and to maintain the trees out of the clear area offer a reasonable alternative, in your view?
No, it does not, and there are two reasons why. First, having the Wimmers trim the tree provides the same risk as having the company trim the tree. In other words, when you're trimming the tree, you're relying on guesswork as to how much clearance you need. How tall will the trees grow before the next time you're out there? And their evidence is that there's a variation between species, there's a variation among individual trees as much as 100% in terms of growth rate, and it actually can vary year to year in terms of when you do the trimming and how you do the trimming. So there's a lot of risk in just trimming the tree. The second reason why having the Wimmers do it is that someone needs to be responsible for making sure that the trimming, the maintenance, is done correctly. And Ohio law places that responsibility on the company. It is simply unworkable to have the property owners in charge of when they're going to trim the tree and how they're going to trim the tree. The companies have to have the right to go in and say, you did this right, you did this wrong, to withhold payment, to fire and hire the contractors, and merely to inspect. Imagine the administrative nightmare that would befall the company if we had thousands of property owners who were doing individual maintenance and the company was trying to have to inspect the maintenance. The proper and reasonable thing is to have a systematic way, a centralized way, of inspecting the lines and doing the maintenance, which is what the company does now.
Counsel, if I understand the position the commission took on this case, is your vegetation management plan was previously approved, and so the plan itself was not open for discussion. It was merely the execution of the plan with respect to this property. Is that right?
Well, we did invite the commission to look at the reasonableness of the plan. We were willing to have them look at that. The commission determined, though, that what they were going to look at, and properly so, was the application of the plan to the property here and the 40 trees at issue.
And if I understand, the way you execute the plan is if you find anything that's 10 feet or above, you decide right then and there, this is a tree that could reach above 35 feet. Right? That's the tolerance. You've got to stay 10 feet away from the line if it sags.
Almost. If there is a tree that's 10 feet, that tree can qualify as a so-called incompatible tree. But what the company does at that point is to look at the individual species of the tree to determine whether it has the possibility by its genetic disposition to grow into the line.
Okay. And you take it out at that point when
yes.
It's 10 foot tall.
We could, yes. In this case, Your Honor, though, we're not talking about 10-foot
yeah.
trees on the property. Each of the trees is in the 30-40 foot range, and Mr. Neff's testimony or his surveys will show you the height of the trees.
Counsel, I just have one other question here. I see your time is up, so I'll be brief. Sometimes it's helpful in these matters to understand the context in which the dispute arises. Now, this is a transmission line, not a service line to the property owners. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And there's been a lot of talk about they gave an easement, but my assumption would be that the company determined that it needed this transmission line and it needed to go through this property And so they either reached negotiation with the property owner, and it was all under threat of potential eminent domain. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if there were actual threats of eminent domain made.
Well, the company had the power of eminent domain if it needed it. Yeah.
This particular easement, and the testimony does show that it was negotiated, that the Wimmers had counsel, and that they paid $5,000 they were paid $5,000 for the right for the company to have their line and to maintain the line, including dealing with the trees if they interfered or if they may interfere or endanger the lines.
Are these trees fairly close to the residence? Is there something special or unusual about these trees?
Well, I don't want to make Mr. Potash's case for him, but my understanding is...
We can let him answer if you wish.
My understanding is that the trees sit between the Wimmers' house and some railroad tracks which are abutting the property on the rear end of the property, and so that these trees provide some type of buffer for that. However, though, the line is also there, and the photographs, the surveys all show that the trees do present a problem. The trees had to be maintained in 2004, 2006, 2010.
Counsel, is there anything to prevent the property owners from planting trees that don't exceed 10 or 12 feet in height? To act as replacements to maintain the buffer from the house to the railroad?
No, Your Honor. As long as the company can be satisfied that the
species
vegetation
would be,
does not have the genetic disposition to grow into the lines, we would be satisfied with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Potash, why is that not a suitable course of conduct for your clients to allow for the clear cutting and then a replacement with compatible trees?
Well, it wouldn't be compatible. By the time the trees would reach a height that it could serve as a buffer, they'd be dead. Because you're talking about trees that, you know, take a little while to grow and for them to form the buffer that, among other things, it's not the sole reason for those trees. But if you put, you know, you plant a seedling, by the time it gets to the point, and then when it gets to that point, they're going to cut them down anyway.
Well, no, I said a species that wouldn't interfere.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I think a 10-foot tree is not going to help buffer the noise from the railroad, which is raised over, and trains go by 100 times a day. I think their testimony was about close to 100 times a day they've had trains. It's a very busy track, but that's not the issue, with all due respect. What is the issue, I believe, has nothing to do with, let me back this up, Corrigan decided one thing only, that the county police court couldn't determine an easement at law. Corrigan didn't say the easement was valid. Corrigan didn't interpret the terms of the easement. Corrigan didn't approve the vegetation management property. All this court said is the common police court has no jurisdiction.
Well, the easement, it's pretty open-ended. You're arguing that they needed to look at this easement and say and speak to the terms of the easement, and they didn't do that. Is that it? Because
the PUCO did not do that. Correct.
They certainly said, look, we've approved a vegetation management plan for this company, and the evidence, the burden is on you, on your clients, to show that they violated that plan and you failed to do it. You're saying they needed to look at the easement and see and assess what they did against the terms of the easement.
Absolutely. The easement is the standard by which everything else is measured, in my opinion, Your Honors, because their vegetation management plan says incompatible vegetation is defined as all vegetation that will grow tall enough to interfere with overhead electric facilities. What does that mean? And how does that apply to an easement between the parties, a contract that says we may
But it seems like that language dovetails precisely with the easement that was granted.
But
when you overlay the two, there is no inconsistency.
Here's the difference, if I may. In other easements, in other cases, their language says without restriction, without limitation, without qualification, they can remove the vegetation. They didn't do it here. Why? Because they left the owners with the right. The easement, again, the next paragraph, the grantors retain the right to that easement property.
Right. Okay, but
as
what?
Long.
Read what the grantors gave up, though.
The same thing. You have the permission to be on the property, and you may, if it interferes or threatens to interfere. Now, who interprets whether it threatens? What standard is used? Nowhere in any decision has there been a standard.
Counsel, did your clients offer any evidence that would counter the evidence of Ohio Edison?
Absolutely.
Besides their own
witnesses.
Opinion. Their own opinion.
I'm sorry?
Besides their own opinions.
No,
did they have a surveyor? Did they have an arborist? Did they have...
Your Honor, when you consider evidence, consider all evidence, regardless of who calls a witness. Through cross-examination, we had the testimony that none of the trees were within the range. Through their witnesses, we had the testimony that the standards that they applied, that compatible vegetation and how they distinguish that from incompatible vegetation, page 157-158, is their own made-up determination. Has nothing to do. Is it Ohio Edison's policy? Yes. Is it PUCO policy? No. Is it the national standards policy? No. Is it a state or regulatory policy? No. They created their own policy.
Which was sanctioned by PUCO.
Even if it were. Again, we're arguing this
is a property. And so then we have to decide whether the opinion rendered by the PUCO is either unlawful or unreasonable.
Or against the manifest weight of the evidence, correct. But I start with the legal issue here because they never discussed it. They never recognized the Wimmer's property rights in connection with their easement. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified.